Are new motorcycles actually getting worse rather than better? Have government organizations like the EPA and CARB castrated everyone on two wheels by forcing manufacturers to regress in motorcycle design rather than progress? Now, with new motorcycle sales down over 40% from manufacturers like Harley-Davidson, I honestly have to wonder, do riders agree that the old stuff is better than the new stuff, or vice versa? After having been a rider, builder, and engineer myself for the last 20 damn years, I have had a small window of time to watch how motorcycles have evolved. I've seen trends come and go. But over the last few years, I honestly have to say I'm pretty fucking shocked at what's going on. I believe there's a force that is destroying what many of us love and hold dear about motorcycles. That's a force that closely resembles the same force used to hit that like button and tell the universe that this video is not a total waste of my fucking time, as you will find some pretty surprising shit in it. Now, if it hits 5,000 likes, I will say thank you by putting a banana sticker on a Prius. In this video, we're gonna settle once and for all the ultimate battle. Vintage versus new.
Fight.
Seriously, I will not be comparing a flying Merkel to the fucking Hayabusa. For this video, I'm gonna define vintage as bikes that are still generally being restored and built for riding purposes, and not like relics for the Smithsonian. That would be, let's say, 40s to 50s to the early 2000s or so, and new bikes being 2010s to modern day. I'm gonna cover everything from the major changes in performance, that's the power, design and engineering, that's the function, technology, that will be the safety features, creature comforts and amenities, and aesthetics. That's the form, how they look. Let's go back to the beginning. Motorcycles were solo vehicles. They were very utilitarian, cheaper to fuel than a car, smaller footprint on the road and at home. They were a very economical option for transportation. They were also easier to maintain because everything was exposed and you didn't really need a lift to perform most maintenance on them. And when it came to maintenance, minimal tools were required for upkeep. They were also a very bold way to experience the road and that feeling of freedom. And then they got bigger. They could carry even more weight, go farther, and move faster. With technological advancements in suspension, we left the antiquated spring suspensions and moved to hydraulics. Carburation became more dialed in and easier for everyone to manage. Some technological growth is really fucking nice. Like computer numerical control machining, or CNC, for those engines means less leaks, less opportunity for failures, higher quality control, and not to mention drastically increased production times without loss of accuracy. Then tire compounds got better, riding positions became more tailored to the sport or use that the bike was intended for, and internal combustion was really starting to make some improvements. Metallurgy also played its part, with lighter frames, faster, higher accuracy manufacturing processes, you had engines and internal components that began to improve, and that's due to higher quality materials. But then, something happened.
A dark shadow grew across the land and slowly turned boners into wet spaghetti.
Bikes got quieter, they got cleaner, they got more tidy.
Lord Plastic and the army of the Third Industrial Revolution Dynasty, that's turd for the folks at home, raised their dark insidious flag and began to creep into fucking everything.
Alphabet agencies started weaseling their way into the manufacturing floor and making certain things mandatory for everything on wheels. And it wasn't to improve the efficiency and performance of the engines, oh no. Due to these governmental agencies becoming heavily involved and lobbyists claiming that the world would end if you ran unrestricted exhaust, and actually tuned the bike from optimum efficiency, they added electronic fuel injection, aka EFI, and catalytic converters, air injection, exhaust gas recirculation, sensors and computers and whiz-bang lights and bank angle sensors. Dear fucking God. Manufacturers were threatened with closure if they did not comply with Big Brother and make that bike more of a queef machine than a fucking roaring beast. EFI requires you to have the computer skills of a doctorate of philosophy and computer sciences to tune, which I do not have. And the age of DIY bikers saw a bit of a sunset. If you didn't have a computer, you had to pay out the nose to have a shop tune your bike. If the local Gestapo even allows you to do that, because where I live, I can't even order a tuner to properly tune a bike. Yup. Nowadays, I'm not even sure if we can find our way back to that golden thread in this mess of LED-laden heated cup holders and the ABS, the GPS, the TFT display, TCS, DSCS, TPMS, PMS, and the goddamn TPS reports. Fuck. But maybe we can. So let's dive into exactly how these bikes have changed across the categories of performance, aesthetics, design, engineering, and technology. First, performance. Let's be honest, bikes from the 30s were so much better. I love being able to ride my single cylinder Harley Model 1 at a blistering 35 miles an hour with the throttle pinned. Woo, slow down, turbo. But performance wise, most bikes today are pretty fucking solid. And the ability to gain far more horsepower and torque has increased well over tenfold. engines perform pretty fucking well. And with the advent of liquid-cooled engines, improved metallurgy, insane advancements in robotics and production, like crazy stuff. I don't think a single rider would say that bikes were faster or more powerful 80 years ago than they are today. Now, on the downside of performance, it has become a bit more difficult to maintain or adjust said performance gains. In times gone past, even just 20 years ago, bikes were still built in a way that didn't require you to travel with a laptop to do any tuning. The hardware was mostly universal, with some basic tools. Those performance upgrades, like better carburetors, could be maintained roadside with a pocket full of simple-ass tools. Performance has technically gotten better, but it's gotten more complicated too. Now, if we look at purely performance metrics when you compare vintage versus new, begrudgingly, I will say, new is basically the winner in, you know, blah, blah. 1 point for new. Design and engineering. Beautiful words, right? And when it comes to design and engineering, I will first say it's great that frame designs have been improved for rigidity, calculated flex, depending on the intended use. They've also mostly gotten rid of heavy cast components, which helps keep the frame lighter. But goddamn, just look at an old FLH. Form truly follows function. Now, the engineering of modern bikes has really come a long way, and I'm super grateful for mating surfaces that don't leak. Forks that slide effortlessly are fantastic. But I will say regarding the design of engines, water-cooled engines are the shit. It's pretty sad, though, that Harley has really been sandbagging in this area, but other brands like Honda and Yamaha have really blended water-cooled engines into their lines and looked great doing it. Overall, engineering on bikes has taken us places we've never dreamed of, like wearable internals that are less prone to failure and breakage. That's a metallurgy thing. Also, being able to test a design in a computer before putting a rider on the bike, that shit's pretty fucking rad. But the design engineering departments need to calm their fucking tits. Plastic parts are really not meant to be inside a hot engine. Like, okay, I'm just a random example here. The M8 with a friggin' plastic intake manifold? I understand cutting costs, seriously, I do. But come the fuck on. The overall designs of some of the new bikes is just either blah as fuck or just way too extra. Now, the engineer needs to know when enough is enough and put more time into research. I'm a little divided here. You can't have all the cool stuff that's actually useful without the engineering and design. However, the new bikes seem to have gotten lost in the weeds. It's just design for design's sake and sometimes does not contribute to a real advancement in design or engineering. A lot of times it really feels like it just feeds the marketing machine and tickles lobbyist taints. Now, an interesting thing to note is the effects of domestic conflicts as early as 1914, I think, and both world wars on the motorcycle's design. Up to these points, motorcycles were kind of just bicycles with motors. Now, when Pancho Villa managed to escape the US military for almost a damn year, riding around the desert on Indian motorcycles, the government was faced with the very stark fact that the motorcycle was a very valid platform, not just for the civilian sector. This pushed design and engineering a lot. You can literally watch the evolution of fender designs, panniers, riding position, hand and foot controls. Even new engines were designed because of the need for durable, strong, and fast vehicles. And even sidecar development was pushed further. They pushed into cargo carrying, gun mounting options, even frames being equipped with sidecar lugs from the factory. Harley even made armored motorcycles. You gotta look this up, it's pretty fucking cool. I mean, I kinda wish we could still mount a Vickers on a bike, especially here in fucking LA. But the point is that wars did a lot to propel research and development of the motorcycle's ability and its designs. The demand for a rugged, reliable vehicle for military use actually led to the development of the WLA, which is a modified version of the civilian WL model, which was adopted for civilian use. Now, the one aspect of design that I am most disappointed with is that of optimizing everything for the comfort and cozy factor. Being fast, hard, hot, dangerous, loud, that's what makes a fucking motorcycle a motorcycle. If you want comfort and ease, get a Lazy Boy, not a fucking motorcycle. Now, the thing is, when you optimize design for comfort, you start getting really fucking lame shit, like a Can-Am Spyder. Or maybe they make those because they are the closest thing that your wife's second boyfriend will let you get. Slower, cushier, softer, warmer, safer, quieter. These may be things you want in a woman. But come the fuck on, nobody walks into a dealership and tells a sales guy, I'm looking for something a little slow, cushy, and soft. I love velour and stuffies. Oh, and it has to be warm because I get cold feet. Ooh, and it's gotta be safe and quiet because I get triggered easily. Do you have anything like that? Fuck. No, we don't. Maybe when you walk into a Can-Am Spyder dealership, they get these kind of requests. I'm not sure. I've never been in a dealership buying or selling. Technology.
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 This is about electronics that take away from the experience. Now, personally, I have no dummy lights or anything in the cockpit of my bikes. Modern bikes feel like I'm sitting at the con of the Starship Enterprise, and I'm about to ask Mr. Sulu to twiddle his knobs and
make it so.
Oh my.
So first off, ABS brakes. What in the actual flaming hell? ABS brakes are not necessary. Learn how to fucking use your brakes and don't ride like an asshat. Sure, they work great in cars, but this is a motorcycle. Learn how to work the brakes, you'll stop just fine. This kind of nanny equipment, I think, deprives a rider from honing in essential skills that are useful for responding to a situation on the road. So now you can just freak out like a little idiot, slam all the brakes, and pray the system does its thing. Dude, fucking yikes. Traction control systems. Bro, you can't look at the road and determine how you should be riding. Use your eyecrometers and chill out. Drag torque slip control systems. Ooh, sounds fancy. Bro, learn how to engine brake and how to properly operate your bike in different weather. Because what happens when the 14-cent chinesium diode goes out and the system fails and you don't know what to do with your hands?
I'm not sure what to do with my hands.
Tire pressure monitoring. My brother in Christ, if you can't tell when your tire pressure is getting low, you should put your Dockers back on and get your eyes checked.
Isn't there something that can be done?
Well, there's a delicate corneal inversion procedure, a multi-optopupiloptomy. But in order to keep from damaging the eye sockets, they've got to go in through the rectum. Ain't no man gonna take that route with me.
Maybe look at the tires, or use a pressure gauge. Hell, even push your fingers in the tire. And if you're riding and it feels kind of mushy, they might be low. Why in God's name do I need an entire system to tell me the fucking thing needs air? Bank angle sensors. Now, I get that this is supposed to be a safety thing. If the bike leans too far, it shuts off the engine. Again with the nanny BS. The problem is, if you try to lean the bike too far while riding, the bike literally dies. Useless garbage on what should be a simple machine. Now let's get into aesthetics. Plastic sucks. Manufacturers started adding more and more plastic over the years. Now, I know sport bikes need a fairing to remain aerodynamic. We have made some serious leaps from the dustbin fairing era, but why does an all-metal engine need a plastic cover to make it look better? Just make the original thing look decent and skip a whole fucking step. Plastic looks like shit pretty fucking quickly. Sun, weather, heat, all turn it into very drab looking garbage in short order. Have you ever seen a plastic bottle that's been outside for a couple weeks? It looks like shit. That's just a plastic bottle. Gigantic mufflers. Have you seen the size of the Sportster S muffler? It is half the size of the bike on the A side. It's actually a 2-to-1-to-2. It's exhaust on a Sportster, man, not a math equation. And it looks like the design was inspired by a friggin' snow shovel. Definitely designed by a blind 4-year-old with arthritis in a coma. Now, on the Gary Busey scale of ugliness, that bike gets a fucking 8.9. Color schemes. Dude, what is up with the color departments these bike makers? I am confident that a chimpanzee with a box of crayons could be more creative. Billiard gray? Just be honest and say you accidentally fired the one guy who actually gave a shit about bike paint colors. You know what? They should actually just sell all bikes in primer gray so we can paint our own shit, since that's what most folks do anyways. I would have a lot worse things to say here, but I gotta be sincere. It's nice to see they're giving the visually impaired designers a chance. Motorcycle makers need to put the laptops down, step out of the boardroom, and lose the tight Dockers and ChatGPT. They're creating this environment on a bike where you've kind of lost touch with the machines. It's like bowling with bumpers. They've succeeded in sucking the fun out of motorcycles. Bikes are supposed to be minimal, badass machines, not overcomplicated Rube Goldberg contraptions. Motorcycles used to be so brutal and cool. Now these new motorcycles are catching up with the aesthetic appeal of a Kia Compact, and sometimes it's less inspiring. I think the direction of a lot of bikes is just getting plain old-fashioned silly. I didn't really start riding a lot on the street till 2006. I wasn't born with a throttle in my hand. But over the last 2 decades, I put a lot of miles on bikes, built a lot of bikes, designed a crap load of parts, and I've seen some wacky-ass shit come and go. So this is just my personal take on where things are heading. I want to hear from you. What's your opinion on where bikes are going? Better to get vintage or better to get new? You tell me.